Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here with video number 15 in this video series on building ASP.NET web applications using Microsoft Visual Web Developer. In this video, we're going to take a look at form field validation using the ASP.NET validation controls. So to get started, let's fire up Visual Web Developer and create a new website. Hop over into design mode for our default.aspx page. And we need a form to submit, so let's create a comments form for our web application. So we'll add a little direction on the top of the page that says, please submit your comments. And now we're going to need to implement the form. So to do formatting, I'm going to insert a table. And I'm going to want three columns in the table. And let's say about six rows, I think, will be enough. I'm also going to select a hard-coded width just to make formatting easier. And then here, I'm going to enter the text prompt for each of the text fields that we want the user to enter. So we'll have a name, we'll have email address, we'll have a subject for the comment, and then we'll have the actual comment itself. Okay, let's resize our column, and then I'm going to want to right justify those text entries, and now we can add a text box for each of the fields that we're going to be taking data in from. And I'm going to make each of those text boxes, I'm going to make a particular width. So let's just make them 200 pixels, I suppose. And I am not at all an advocate of using the default names that are provided by Visual Web Developer. So let's change these all to be a little bit more meaningful. Let's set textbox 1 equal to textbox name, because that's going to contain the name field. Textbox 2 equal to textbox email. Textbox 3 equal to textbox subject. And textbox 4 equal to textbox comment. Now we'll know what each of those fields does while we're doing our coding. The other thing I want to do here is while we're in the textbox comment, let's go ahead and change the text mode from single line to multi-line. Because this is where we're going to allow the user to enter sort of freeform text. The next thing I'm going to need is a button control and a label control. The button control is obviously the form submit, and the label control will be a text entry that can contain the results of our submission. Right, so here in our button control, let's change the ID to button send, and let's change the text to be click to submit. And change the label control, change the name from label 1 to label results. Again, just not using the default names. I like context sensitivity. Let's get rid of the text altogether because we don't want anything to display until after we've submitted the form. Next thing I'm going to do is double click on the click button to generate the click event handler and code behind, where we can say label results.txt. Now, in this click event handler, this is where you would call the logic that would do whatever you wanted to do with the comment. So you might dynamically generate an email and send it to an appropriate person, or you might create a record in a database where you store all your user comments. In our case, we're just going to add a text value to the results label that says, your comments have been sent. All right, let's go ahead and run our application just as it exists right now. And you can see we have our form. Let's just, without entering any data at all, let's go ahead and submit. And look, we get the message, your comments have been sent. Now, this is problematic for a couple of reasons. It's problematic, A, because the data is invalid, so we're sending requests to the server and polluting both network traffic and server resource consumption with requests that can't possibly be successfully completed. The other thing is that we haven't done anything to limit the data that goes in these fields. So if the server-side logic is executed, we're either sending empty emails to somebody or creating empty records in a database. And these aren't the sorts of things that we want to do. So enter the concept of ASP.NET validator controls. So let's hop to design mode for default.aspx. And then over here in our toolbox, let's scroll down and find the validation control collection here in the Visual Web Developer toolbox. Now, you'll notice here, there are a whole collection of validators that are available to us. There's a required field validator, which we'll use momentarily. There's a range validator, which will make sure that the value that's entered falls within a particular range. There's a regular expression validator, which we'll use towards the end of this demonstration. There's a compare validator, a custom validator, where you can implement your own logic, a validation summary control, and a dynamic validator control. Now, these validator controls, using all of them in detail, it's beyond the scope of this introductory video on validation. But if you're doing a lot of data entry, I highly recommend that you develop some expertise in these validation controls, because they're pretty powerful, especially when you get into the customization. Now, one of the things to note is there's a very important implementation detail that you should understand about these validation controls. And that is that these validation controls, when you drag one out of the toolbox and drop it on your page, it implements simultaneously both client-side validation logic as well as server-side validation logic. And this is important. There's a definite distinction between the two, and they serve different purposes. So most notably, client-side validation has no security considerations whatsoever. So client-side validation is simply to improve the user interface and reduce unnecessary load on the server. So client-side validation will tell the user what they've failed to enter correctly and will prevent the form from being submitted back to the server at all. However, it's not that difficult for a hacker to bypass client-side validation and submit a form anyway. And that means that he could be sending invalid data that might have security considerations back on the server. So when you use one of these controls, in addition to the client-side logic that gets implemented, server-side validation logic is implemented as well. Therefore, if a hacker were to bypass the client-side validation logic, that validation logic still gets executed on the server, which creates a safety factor for us. So, the first thing that we want to do with validation controls here is we want to make sure that the user enters data in every single one of these fields before the form gets submitted. So let's use the required field validator. I'm going to take it over and I'm going to drop one. That's not where I want it. I'm going to resize this form just a little bit. And then I'm going to drop a required field validator in the table column all the way to the right, and I'm going to do that next to each of the four text box forms that I've included on my page here. Now, this is just a design pattern that I'm using, where I'm placing the form validator next to the field that it's going to validate. You can use any sort of visual positioning that you want. I could place this required field validator underneath the field that it's going to validate, or I could take all of these required field validators and I could place them in a div somewhere else on my form. It's entirely up to you. I just happen to use this pattern where I place them next to the control that they're going to validate. Mind you, though, this is just positioning at this point. We haven't actually configured these validator controls to validate the respective fields. So let's go ahead and do that now. Now you'll notice, I'm going to go into the properties collection for this field. And again, we get default names, which I prefer not to use. So I'm going to rename each of these required field validators to have an ID that associates it with the field that it's validating. So in our case, the first validator is going to validate the name field. I have to go up and select the control to validate, which in our case is going to be text box name. And now you can see how by changing the control IDs from the default to a context appropriate name makes it much easier to work with these associations. So here in the error message, we want to change this. So instead of saying required field validator, let's say name field is required. Now I'm just going to enter some randomly appropriate text in these error messages. I highly recommend that you have a messaging standard for either your organization or at least your application, so that your messages sort of conform to a particular format and a particular convention, so that it makes it easier for your users to understand messages when they're presented. But in our case, we're just going to use some random text. Next, let's go ahead and select field validator number 2. When we do this, by the way, if you look at the design view of your form, you'll notice that the field I just selected is now highlighted, so we know what association we want to make. This validator is going to work against the email field, so let's go and change the name to be required field email. And then we can go up and select the control to validate to be text box email. And then change the message so it says email address is required. Again, let's select required field validator number 3, which is going to be our subject field. So let's change the name. Required field subject. Go up and change the control to validate to be subject. And specify in the error message, subject is a required field. And then lastly, we'll select field validator number 4, which is going to be our comment field. So let's go down, change the name to be comment specific. Comment. Then let's go ahead and select the control to validate. Now, if you don't do this, if you fail to select the control to validate, it'll just give you an error message that's pretty specific about telling you that. So we'll choose text box comment, and then let's go ahead and change the error message to say comment is a required field. All right. Now let's go ahead and run our application as it stands. So here you can see, if we click on submit, you can see that we get these error messages. Name field is required. Email address is required. Notice, we're not actually submitting back to the server. These errors are being generated client-side, and the JavaScript code that is implemented as part of these validation controls fails to allow the form to be submitted, which is great because we don't create unnecessary load on our network or on our server. So if we go ahead and start to enter some data into these fields, let's enter an email address. Let's enter a subject and then just some text here. Now I can try and submit. And lo and behold, we were successfully submitted. Your comments have been sent. There's still a problem here, though. What if the user didn't enter an email address in the email address box? Well, I can click submit and it still submits. Because all we've said using the required field validator controls is that the user must enter data in these fields. But using the more advanced controls, we can start to specify logic to be associated with what gets entered in this field. So for example, in the email address, one of the things we might want to do is minimally make sure that whatever gets entered in this box complies with the format of an internet standard email address. So let's go ahead and do that. So I'm going to go back down to the validation collection in our Visual Studio Toolbox and grab a regular expression validator. I'm going to drop that over here into the column that contains our email address validation. And same as we did with the required field validators, let's go ahead and change the name and let's call this regx email. Now, I'm shortening up that name because the ID property can only contain a certain number of characters, and if the number of characters that you enter in this text box are too many, then when you try and save it or navigate away from the ID property, you'll generate an error message that says invalid property value. Let's change the error message to say the email address is invalid. And now we need to enter a regular expression. So if we look down here, we see this field, validation expression. Now, regular expressions are an extremely powerful syntax, but they're also kind of a cryptic syntax, and I personally have never taken the time to commit the regular expression syntax to memory. So there are a couple of things that you can do. First, you can just learn to write regular expressions. They're super powerful and very useful. What I found more useful, however, is that they're a collection of third-party authoring tools where you enter either pseudocode or you use some sort of a wizard to pick what the constraints you want to be in your regular expression, and the tool will generate the regular expression for you. Those are great. If you just search regular expression tool on the internet, you'll find a whole collection of them. The other thing that you can do is you can select this ellipsis and see that there are a collection of predetermined regular expression values that are available as part of the control. So we want this to be an internet email address, so I'm going to go down and select internet email address. And you can see what I mean by the syntax of regular expressions being a little bit cryptic. But I'm just going to select that, and then I can go ahead and save those control properties. Now, if I run the control, let's go ahead. Oh, What we didn't do is set the regular expression control to validate, which, as I mentioned, if you fail to do that, you'll generate an error. So let's go ahead and do that. Great little piece of real-time debugging there. So let's go back into the regular expression validator, choose control to validate, and select text box email. Now we can go ahead and run our application. Notice we can't submit. If we enter a name, enter an email address, a subject, and a comment, now I should be able to successfully submit. However, if we were to put something that didn't look like an email address in that text box, now we get an error. What if I entered most of an email address? Well, nope, the regular expression still doesn't validate. So we do have to, in fact, enter a completely valid email address, at least from a syntactical perspective. And now we can submit that form. So that's it. Hopefully, that gives you an idea, at least an introductory idea, of how to get started using form field validations in ASP.NET using Visual Web Developer. And if you're working with a lot of forms input, hopefully you'll take the time to drill down into the other controls as well as all of the details of these controls and implement not only rich input validation using the controls that exist in the Visual Studio Toolbox, but also start writing some custom validators or at least some custom validation logic using the custom validator control. Thanks.